So praise God. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. Hallelujah. God is on the move. How many know that? I was been digging into a bunch of devotionals and listening to a bunch of teaching stuff, and I've been really doing lessons upon purpose and promises. And how many of y'all know how many promises are in the Bible? There's over 7,400 promises in the Bible. So you guys got empty notebooks? We're going to start at number one. Nah, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. But yeah, there's over 7,400 promises in the Bible. And he's full of promises because he's faithful. Let's go to Psalm 139, please. You know, a couple things about, before we get going on this. Y'all know what God is, man. God is omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Does anybody know what that stuff means? Omniscient means that he knows everything. He knows everything about you, past, present, and future. If you think you're going to get away with something, think again. Because he already knows that you do it before you do it. And omnipresent means that he's past, present, and future. God is timeless. God is not from here. He has no time. As for us, we live on Earth. We live on an axis. We circle the sun. So we're bound by time, unfortunately. But he is not. So he's past, present, and future. Now, one thing, like I said, he's omniscient, which he knows everything before we even do it. And this Psalm 139, verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and said your hand and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet they were none of them. Hallelujah. He knew you before you were even born. I mean, it's like I said, we're stuck in time, and he's timeless. Think of this as him being omnipresent. Look at, You're on a river, you're fishing with a bobber. You can only see, you can't see the fish. You can only see to your left, to your right. You can't see anything else. Now think of God being a blimp or airplane a few miles high. He can see the beginning of the river. He can see all the fish in the beginning of the river. He can see where you're at in the middle, all the fish in the river. He can see the end of the river. He can see it all at one time. And that's kind of hard to imagine once in a while, but just I'm trying to get you to grasp how God is and how powerful he truly is. In our lives, we're stuck in this we are a timeless generation, but still we're still stuck in a time. Just so how God is omnipresent in our lives, so there's nothing at all hidden from him. So why not talk to your daddy? Amen? God knows you better than you. Amen? I mean, think about it. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11, please. God has a plan. God's plan for us is super awesome, amazing. He is a good and just God. He wants his children to be blessed and blessed abundantly. He doesn't want us to be stuck in this world of of utter chaos. And he has a wonderful plan for us, but it's through our stupid decisions to where he's constantly kind of changing his plan, because he has a plan for us, but it's we ourselves, because he gave us a choice to follow through with the plan, which is grace, of course. And man, he's wonderful. He wants the best for us, and he knows us way better than we know ourselves. He already knows what we're going to do before we even do it. So he already knows he's going to look set back. Yep, you're going to be a bonehead. Yep, my bad. Yep, you're right, I'm a bonehead. But amen. Jeremiah 20:11. Everybody there? It says, yeah, you messing with me now? Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. He wants the best for you. He wants to have us to have that future. He doesn't want us to be stuck in this mire of our selfish ways, these ways of the world, not the ways of the devil. Because this world is nothing but lust of flesh, pride of life, and whatever the other one was. Last of the eye, that was it. Hallelujah. And so God has more thoughts in your plans than you have. Every single detail. Believe in confidence that the challenges of today will be the blessings of tomorrow. God always has a plan and is working for your good right this very second. Right now, he's working on your behalf. Amen? God is faithful. It's his character. That's who he is. He loves us, and he's extremely faithful. That's one of his promises. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Go to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Everybody there? It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? He's always there for us in every single situation. He's full of promises. It's for us to receive it and walk in the light of his goodness. And fear, man. Fear is not from the Lord. Fear is from the earth. Think of this way. Fear is a misunderstanding who God is and what he has promised. You really think about it. If we knew how God really was, we would never be afraid of the outcome of the future. There'd be no worries, no anxiety. Let's see what it says in the Bible. Let's go to 1 John 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Whenever you become fearful, you just touch and agree with the enemy. That's all we're doing. Because what is Satan's power? It's fear. And his weapon is deception. So when we're walking in God's perfect love, there should be no fear. When you know his promises, you know the outcome of everything, you're his child. Right? You guys just sung it out. I hope you did. I know. I had my hands raised singing it. I mean, because it's true. And he's got so much love for us, and he has a plan for us. Our plan is his plan, which is, if it's in his plan, it's going to be fantastic. You just got to walk it out. Amen? So let's go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the power inside us because Christ lives in us now. We have the power to overcome that fear and walk in his light and his goodness. Because his promises are true, and our purpose is to fulfill his will. And we're walking around in fear and anxiety all the time. You're not fulfilling nothing but your own selfish desires of hiding in the closet or touching green with stuff you shouldn't be touching green with. I mean, walk in the power that the Lord has given you, because you're what? A child of God. I mean, it's time to step it up, because the end time's coming soon. And it's for us to have Christ inside us so that people can see Christ and come to the Lord. That's what it's about. The Lord promises, he promises to guide us. He'll always be there for us. He guides us in our confusion. I don't know about y'all, but I can get confused a lot. I take a step back and I was like, man, it's just mind-boggling to me right now. I have no idea what's going on. I was talking to my daughter like last week, and she goes, I'm so confused. I'm like, well, God is, he's not the God of confusion. You know, so take a step back, ask him to simplify stuff, and you know, he'll make a different way for you can understand it a little better. But he is not the God of confusion, and when we get confused, he's there for us to make things right. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, do you wholeheartedly trust in the Lord? I mean, are you second guessing him? I mean, that's where confusion comes in. You trust everything you have in him, because he's not going to steer you wrong. Lean not on, man, I lean on my understanding once in a while. I'm way off over there. I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? That was the old man. It's like, man, I got to snap out of that and get back in God's direction. Because we're not talking, you know, on understandings. We're not supposed to understand everything, but we're supposed to trust in him, and he'll direct our paths when we're confused. Because if any of y'all say you're not confused, you're lying, because everybody gets confused once in a while. But turn to the Lord for answers for that. Now, he wants what's best for his children. He's always right. There's nothing he wants more than to see his children walking in the light and just doing the proper right things, not being confused by what's going on in the world, this and that. Stay focused on him, and nothing gets confused. And take a step back and pray about it for wisdom and understanding if you are confused. He'll guide you and direct you in that. That's one of his promises. He's faithful in that. Amen. Let's go to John 14, please, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Man, we got the Helper. And we got the Holy Spirit. Man, every morning, what do we do? Wake up. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Help me pray. And when you start your day off with the Kingdom card, just don't speak the Kingdom card. You do the Kingdom card. It's a verb. It's an action. It's just not something that you memorize, which is good. But you take that step back and you take it step by step, however long it takes you. Because it is vital. You get the Holy Spirit going inside. You get the fire burning. And answers come a lot quicker than you would when you don't. Because you're sitting there just pedaling wheels, not knowing what's going on. Because the enemy's right outside the door. He's not going away no more. That's why he brought us the Helper. To get us through these times. Not get confused. Amen. Since we're in John, go to John 16 real quick, please. Verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak. He will tell you of things to come. Tell me that's not awesome. I mean, come on, man. Is that not God all the way right there? He's going to guide us and direct us. He will let us know all things to come when we lean not on our own understanding. We let him direct our path. We take that step back and we pray for that knowledge and understanding, because his promises are true. He also promises, he promises us to help us when we're tempted. Temptation is around every corner. Being tempted isn't a sin. The act of the temptation is the sin. There's a huge difference. Think about that now. I mean, you're going to have thoughts come in your head. That's going to be thoughts of the Holy Spirit. You have thoughts of your own. You know, you have thoughts of the devil. That's going to throw them fiery darts at you. And the temptation is through the old man and through the devil. I mean, the Lord's here to help us with that. He knows our struggles. He that's why he came to earth to help us all those things. Because this world is a struggle. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, please. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So although the temptation comes, he's always going to make that way of escape. Now, if you touch agree with the temptation, you're making that choice. But if you turn from it, you know, it's good. But, I mean, he goes, Lord, the Lord doesn't give you that temptation. It's you making that choice of doing the action upon the temptation and the or the attraction. Go to Isaiah 41 real quick, please. Verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's going to strengthen us in our time of need, in our time of weakness. He's with us at all times. It's for us to receive all that. I mean, the promises are true. I mean, we're his children. When the temptation comes, that's when he turned to him the most. You know, like I said, he knows you better than you. He knows where temptations are. And he's going to help you with those struggles. Because temptation never goes away, especially the closer and closer you get with the Lord, your walk with Jesus, the more the devil's going to tempt you. Because the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your identity. Exactly what he wants to do. That's all he wants to do, is make a way where he puts something against between you and the Lord to where you don't see the Lord no more. So think about that. That's where temptation comes from. So when you're being tempted next time, think of it that way, that, man, that's straight from the devil, man. You got to be able to stop that. Amen? And he'll help you. If you let him, he wants to because he's your daddy. He loves you. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. He's going to, man, we got the triune God, man. We got the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's all three verses one, which is what? Satan. Man, we got heaven backing us. Man, he's got us. It's for us. We make those stupid decisions every single time, man. That's why we got to stop doing that. Realizing what your weaknesses are, because he knows your weaknesses, but but he gives you that choice. We have that choice. So know that you're a child of God and his promises are true. Amen? Now, God, he also promises to support us in the time of trouble. And there's trouble lurking around every corner. There's a trial, tribulation happening every single one of us right here, right now. They're always going to be there. We're always going to have those struggles, but he promises to support us in those times. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Oh, this is a good one. You guys are going to like this one. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now, the Lord's not saying he's going to keep you dry. You're going to go through the water. You're going to get wet. But he's saying that he's going to support you and be with you and guide you and support you. He's saying that you're going in the fire, but you're not going to get burnt. Doesn't mean you're not going in the fire to be tested, to be molded, but he's going to be with you to support you, protect you. That's how we grow. That's how we're able to show empathy towards other people. Is being in those same situations and passing those situations because we know we got the Lord with us. So you really remember that he's there for us in every single trial and tribulation we go through. But we have to go through those trial and tribulations to learn, be molded. And it can be very painful. But like I said, we go through the waters and the fire. We're not going to drown. We're not going to get burned because he's there with us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. Because we're his children. He loves us. Amen. Go to Philippians 4:13, please. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody say out loud, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even though we go through the fire and the water, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now listen to this. He gives us the strength we need to overcome through the day. He doesn't give us the strength for the week or the month, like our monthly bread, our daily bread. He gives our daily bread, the strength for the day. He gives us our daily bread to make it through the day's struggle. Every day he will strengthen us, give us that strength to make it through each and every struggle that we have. Because if he gives us the strength for there and beyond, man, then we're looking too far ahead. We've got to worry about today's problems. Make it through that. Amen? He promises also to, he repays us for people who hurt us because he loves us. He's a very just and loving God. He's our dad. He grieves over us. You don't have to go there, but it states in Psalm 56, 8, that there's a bottle of tears that he keeps account for. Every single tear that we have, he saves. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he grieves over the pain that we go through. He doesn't want us to go through pain, but we have to. That's the way it is. That's the way this life is. Life is not fair. Amen. Go to Romans 12. Let's go start at 17. Hallelujah. Pay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as you depend on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. We are not to repay for the bad things that happen to us. We're supposed to give it to the Lord. Way easier said than done. I'm still a novice at it, but I'm working on it. I'm holding the sign that says work in progress. Pardon my dust, because this is a training ground. But I mean, two wrongs don't make a right. Man, there's so much more we can squish that by just not touching with and letting it go and give the Lord, let him repay it. Man, as soon as you clash with somebody else, man, there's all kinds of fiery stuff that's going on. And it causes resentment and forgiveness. And it's not worth it. And he repays, says the Lord, because he loves us. He's just. Justice delayed is not justice denied. Just because you want justice right now doesn't mean you're going to get it. It isn't always like that because he's timeless. I want stuff right here, right now. Well, go get it right now. No, it doesn't happen that way. In due time, in his time, not our own. So remember that. Justice delayed is not justice denied. We need to forgive. Always forgive. Do you trust in his word? It says right here in his word that he will repay for us. If you trust in him, he'll take care of it. That's why we got to let things go. Let go, let God. Amen? Now, God also, he promises to reward our services for being a servant and for generosity. God wants us to be like Jesus. That's what he wants. I mean, that's all I want. I want people to see Jesus. I don't want people to see Shane. I want people to say, man, that dude's a Jesus freak. Yeah, yeah. That's what I want to be. I want people to see Jesus. I want my eyes to just to show the love. I mean, like I said, that song, Give Me Your Eyes. I mean, that's a powerful song. I mean, how many times, it's countless times, how many times I've gone down a street and see somebody hurting in pain and just walk by and say, well, that's not my problem. If I was really walking in Christ, I would have made that my problem and went and loved on him, prayed for him. Instead of saying, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a Christian life, it's a hard walk, but that's what we're called to do. Mark 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If we are to be Christ-like, we got to get out of ourselves. We are here to serve. That is one of our purposes. And being a servant means not being selfish, not being self-centered, not looking at selfish ambitions. When you got to do stuff for somebody, being generous, what are you really doing it for? Are you really doing it for kingdom purposes? Are you doing it for the love, because the love of God is in you? Or are you doing it for a selfish ambition of some sort? Looking for gratitude? Are you looking for, you know, look at me? What's your motives? Where's your fruit? What's your desires on that? Get your fruit, right? It's very important to, when you serve, to be serving properly, not being in yourself on it. Amen? Luke 9:23-24. Oh boy. Here we go. This is what it's about right here. It's a formula. You guys ready for a formula? It says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and his followers, and of the holy angels. But I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. The formula, take up your cross and follow, deny yourself, die daily. We have a saying around here, it's a good day to die. It's very true, because once you die to yourself, that's when serving comes really in, because you're not serving yourself. We need to learn to give ourselves away daily. When we give ourselves away, that means you're being the blessing. It's better to be, to give a blessing than to take a blessing. When you really deny yourself, that's when life truly begins. And our purpose is to serve, not to be served. Let's go to Hebrews 6, please. 9 and 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work of labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do not minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, what are the promises? What are some of the promises? Promises he promised to strengthen us. That's a promise. He promised to give us rest. That's a promise. He promises to to take care of all of our needs. Man, I tell you what, since I don't lack when I give it to the Lord, he takes care of everything. That's a promise. He promises answering prayers when it's in his will. Now, like I said, it's in his timing, not our timing. He promises to protect us. He promises to protect our family. Because we're in his family. He loves his children. And he promised to work out everything to our good. Even when we make our mistakes, he can turn everything to the good. Amen? And I'm going to close at 2 Peter 1. We're going to read verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, through virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you would neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's our daddy. He loves us. He has over 7,000 promises, and he wants to bless us. He wants to guide us and direct us. He wants to protect us. It's for us to lift our hands to heaven and say, Lord, I'm your child. Love me. Help me. Guide me. Protect me. It starts with that relationship. And it's the promises are there, and there's purpose behind it. We're called to serve. We're called to spread the word. We're called to save as many souls as possible because time's coming. And every day, pray for that knowledge and understanding to make it through the day for others. Get out of yourself. Be that smile to somebody. Pray for the, give me your eyes. Be that person that you walk up to on the street and say, look, man, you don't look so well, man. How can I help you? How may I be of service to you? Be Christ-like. Because I don't know about y'all, but for me, I want people to see Jesus. I do not want people to see Shane. Not no more. It's not about me. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we love you. Bless you. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. Help us be who you want us to be and not of ourselves, Lord. And everything we do, let us be in your image and likeness, Papa. We are your children. We love you. We know you love us. Thank you for all your promises, Lord. You are so faithful. Guide us and direct us. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name.